I studied the Bible, great
subject,
because that last journey that we take can be the one that we work for all our lives, and that is to reach that heavenly home. I'm sure that a lot of people will enjoy that, and you can do that. You can go 68 miles up from outer space, and we can enjoy that and still go to heaven if that's what we desire to do. But when we put our whole attitude, our minds, on these earthly things, then we get lost sight of that long trip on the ground. And that's not a sermon for you, that's a sermon for me. So we're glad that Jim is here. We're glad for the class. We're looking forward to the week. We hope that you'll be here every night. Today we will have our regular service this morning, and then at 12 o'clock we're going to eat and have a good meal. And then at 1:30 we're going to have our evening service. Everyone is invited to stay and enjoy the meal and go to the second service. At this time, I'd like to explain about the communion for those that haven't been here. We serve the bread and the wine out of the little cups. So when it's passed, just take a cup and put it back in, partake of it, put it in the seat in front of you in the pew.
In the song book, right? In the songbook,
right? Yeah, well, in the songbook, right? That's a little thing you're going to hold in
the
Bible, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But you're right. Those that we need to remember in prayer, Dale and Tina Adams returned to Texas last week. We're sorry to hear about that. That's a lot of traveling and a lot of disappointment for them, I know it is. Medicare reported on Chastening out of the hospital. It said some 100 surgeries and waiting to walk in devices. He had both legs removed. His attitude is still great, so we're thankful for that. Mary Jane Klutz, she's not feeling too well these days, and let's keep her remembering her. Calvin and Joanne Delap. Calvin was in the hospital, but he is out. Joanne and Calvin both are going to Santa Tokyo for physical therapy, and I don't know when. I haven't talked to Calvin, but they are scheduled for therapy together there.
And they'll be there two to 3 weeks of time at least.
Okay. You can read all of the others that are on our Sandra Cobb is waiting, scheduling of her surgery. Richard is waiting for the tear duct to clear up so he can have some cataract Job Lane, Mary Jean Robinson is radiating pain in her hip region from time to time, and it's worse than it's ever. But anyway, that's probably all of it.
Amen.
Jill Spencer, she's still doing well. That's good. And Sawyer Rich is doing good. That's it. Please sign up if you can to attend the Wednesday, 8 o'clock AM breakfast and prayers for the Christ Church that will be here on Wednesday morning. And there will be a prayer breakfast for the Lord's here at the church. James Crosby, his father failed again the other day. The mother and father had followed him. James wants us to remember them and him in our prayers.
Yes.
Of any of the other sick that I may have missed. But the other home girl I knew is James Robinson, that's right down on 27. And Thursday, of course, when we close out our meeting, let's don't forget that we need to make some ice cream. Is there anything else? I have an opening prayer this morning, and we'll begin our service. The gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this day. Bright sunny day, Father, even though it's very warm outside. It's still a beautiful day because of the hand of being here.
Yes.
Thank you for the health you've given us, that we can attend this service, and Father, for those that we have mentioned this morning as being sick, and those that are shut in. Father, we pray that you'll watch over them and care them, care for them in such a way that they'll regain their health. For those that have upcoming doctor visits and things to be done, Father, we pray that you'll guide the doctors and help them to do the work on the patients that we have that need this time. Father, we pray for them.
Yeah.
Father, thank you so much for the blessings that we have in this life. Father, we realize that all blessings come from you. That the things that we have are not ours. Father, they just long for us to get through this life. And you have been so gracious to us. We pray that we be good stewards of these things, and Father, we pray that our lives are glorifying you by doing the things that you would have us to do. Thank you, Father, for the church that meets here at this place. Help us, Father, to do your will, to teach your word as you would have it to be taught. To live out our lives in such a way that those that are around about us can see you through us. Help us during this week, as we have this meeting, to invite those that are around about us and Father, we encourage them to come to you for work. Father, thank you again for the church.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the country in which we live. The bounty that we have and the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, we can only pray that the leaders of this land will look to you for help and for guidance, not to have wisdom. We pray for our president, that Father, he'll look to you.
Yes.
And he'll do the things that are right.
Yes.
And if Father, we pray that it's in our lives when we do things wrong that you will lead us in our purposes here. Help us to keep America as a place that other people would look to and follow, a place where your word can spread freely throughout the world. Thank you for the military that we have that watch over and care for us every day. We pray, Father, you keep them out of harm's way. For those that have given their lives for our freedoms, Father, we can only thank you. Thank you for the police officers, the first responders that take care of our lives here in our civilian cities and places. And we ask you to keep them from harm. Help us, Father, to, as a nation, to get back to your word, to your ways, because they are the only ones that are right.
Yes.
They're the only ones, Father, that will help us to love each other. Father, we ask you to begin to bless this meeting. And we pray, Father, that it will build us up and help us to be better Christians in your kingdom. And Father, we realize that in our way and lives, we sometimes make mistakes. Sometimes we make errors. Sometimes, Father, we sin. Help us to overcome our weaknesses, Father. Strengthen us that we can be the men and women that you would have us to be. Father, we know that you always look over us and love us. Help us to love each other more every day. Help us, Father, to love you above all things. These things we ask of your Son, who has been given to us as a sacrifice, the Father, the one that has taught us you. In his name we pray.
From my poor sin sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. In my life of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as air, hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I will not stray, hand in hand with Jesus. When the stars are black and gold, and his home I shall behold, I will walk the streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. And each day, hand in hand, along the way, walking thus under my stray, hand in hand with Jesus.
Number 166. 166. I serve the risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see this hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always here.
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. He rests me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ, thy King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to the Lord. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Number 633, you will sing the song before our communion. 633.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest King, Thou would count but lost, and for contempt of all my pride. Forgive it, Lord, that I should boast, saying that the death of Christ thine Lord. Dear sisters,
But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Let's know, Father, to remember him with his death that he suffered for us. As we can take up the call, help us to examine ourselves and to protect the mind if this is good. This is what we ask in Jesus' name.
We have 36 present this morning. Today is July 25th, 2021, for taking purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our psalm books at number 675. 675 will be our psalm of invitation later. And once you've got that mark, let's turn to number 446. 446. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our mind. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. Let each soul be rekindled with our love. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again.
We have the joy of introducing to you that know him best. This is Jimmy Ferguson. But he is well known here for everybody who's ever grown up around Senatobia and in Senatobia for the work that he has done. And he'll begin the gospel meeting with us this morning as he speaks to us now at this service. God bless.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you to Tom for directing our singing this morning and Bill.
can't tell you how excited I am and that Elizabeth and I can be here this morning. I'm so grateful she can be here with me. I have held some meetings in some places that were so far away that she couldn't be with me. And when she's not with me, there's always something missing. And so glad that she can be here. I hope that she can be here through the week. But this is home. And I led my first song here. I took a class this morning that on a Wednesday night when I was about 13 years old, I was sitting on the second row of seats. We had those wooden seats connected to each other back in the old building. Brother Preston walked up and put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You got one picked out?" And that was my start in leading singing and my start in standing before a group of people. And he was such a great influence in my life. As a matter of fact, he started paying my tuition when I entered Magnolia Bible College back in 1978. I can remember Miss Irene Call. Called me her Timothy. She would always say, "My Timothy." And that started, I know, when I was in my early teens, for a good while. I didn't know why she called me her Timothy until later I learned that she had reference to the Timothy that we read about in the New Testament. And then I learned that meant even more to me. And she would always put her arm around me and say, "Hey, you're my Timothy." Not every memory that I have, though, is pleasant. Some of them are painful. And again, I told the class I was sitting over in the old building about midways with Mother and Daddy, and I was cutting up, and Mother had tried to get me to settle down, and I wouldn't. She pinched a plug out of my leg. And I know several around us turned and looked back and knew something had happened. My expression on my face, and I don't remember cutting up anymore after that.
Yeah.
I think it was about 7 or 8 years old. But so many here, who are still here, many who are gone, had such a great influence in my life. And I remember Mother and Daddy would always, during meetings, have the preachers in our house and for meals. And I admired those men who were gospel preachers. And even as a youth, I listened very intently to them standing up here preaching. Little did I know that one day I would meet one of them who was standing in the pulpit. It meant a lot to me. And of course, those among those who have had a great influence in my life has been Robert. I can't remember a time when I didn't know Robert. He was way back. He was a friend of our family and has been a great encouragement to me through the years. And I love and appreciate him so much. So good to see Robert and Jane today. I could go on and on, but that's not what we're doing. We started this morning with a lesson on why we should study the Bible. And that is the foundation of what we're going to be doing this week. And so if you start with the lesson this morning in class and end with the one on Thursday night, everything else that we're going to be talking about between now and Thursday night are things in between the beginning and the end. Things we need to know, things we need to do. And then on Thursday night, eventually there's a time in our lives when I told somebody this past week, there comes a time in our lives when more of the people that we've known and our relatives, family members, if we live long enough, are on the other side. And that causes us to appreciate what the Bible says about heaven even more.
Yes.
That happened to me a number of years ago when we lost Danny and then Diane, my sister, and in-depth study of that subject. And boy, if you're going to hear Thursday night, are the results of that study. What will heaven be like? So this afternoon in the 1:30 assembly, the lesson is going to be somewhat of a devotional, so it won't be very long, but I will give just a brief summary of some of the things that we'll talk about and why, as we consider the soul and the importance of the soul. Good to be with you. Love every one of you. When you turn to the second chapter of the book of Acts, reading about the day of Pentecost, it was a great day. A day that for the average Jew might have seemed somewhat ordinary, outside of the fact that multitudes of people were present for the feast of Pentecost. So it was anything but ordinary. There were at least 17 different nationalities represented. So there were thousands of people assembled there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You might even say that it was the perfect setting and the perfect occasion for a gospel meeting. Because it was also the day in which Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, the prophet said, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And so what the people saw on that day was prophecy being fulfilled. And particularly in the things that they began to see and hear was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2. And as a matter of fact, Peter told them, "What you're seeing, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And then Peter quotes some of that. Peter proclaims Christ and him crucified. And he lets those people know in no uncertain terms, "The one that you crucified is the Son of God." And he basically sums that up in verse 36 when he says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." You know, I've wondered many times through the years as I've read that, if at that point some of the people fell to their knees. I don't know, but it's possible. You know, sometimes when you have, if you've been startled or something great happens, sometimes you have this weak feeling that comes over you. It may have happened to some of them. But we read in verse 37 that when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, cut to the heart. Convicted of sin, particularly the sin of crucifying the Son of God. And so they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter tells them. And we'll mention that specifically in a few moments as we close out the lesson. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, the church had been in existence for a number of years. And Luke says that in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it is said that those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Those words were not spoken as a compliment, but in reality, that's what it was. I would to God that it could be said of the church today that we're turning the world upside down. You know, when you think of great needs of the church today, what would you say some of the greatest needs are? A strong eldership, sound gospel preaching, God-fearing homes, all of those things are important and needed today. But one of the greatest needs in the Lord's church today is a revival. A revival. And that's not a
exclusive to our time, because even back in the Old Testament, David said in Psalm 85, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" A revival was needed then. And when you think of a revival, it is the idea of stirring people up. Stirring people up to the point that they come back to life. They have a renewed spirit of optimism. A renewed spirit of carrying out the Lord's work. That's what we need today. The church then must be Christ-centered, faith-fortified, soul-conscious, service-minded, and growth-oriented. Let's think for a few moments about the kind of church that the Lord desires and requires. This is with every congregation of the Lord's people. First of all, God desires that the church be evangelistic in nature. Evangelistic in nature. The Word of God makes it extremely clear that the mission of the church is the evangelization of the world. Our Savior said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew's account, in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Verses 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 28. And there's a reason for that great commission. The reason is that man stands under the condemnation of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, "We have before proved that both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin." And he goes on to say, "There is none righteous, no, not one." You drop down to verse 23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The universal problem of mankind today is sin. And the universal need then is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving message of Christ. You see, my friends, the church is God's sending agency. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. "To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Well, the apostles and the early Christians understood that need of taking the gospel to the lost. They understood the seriousness of the Great Commission. They understood that challenge. And so beginning with Pentecost, they went out and they preached the gospel of Christ. They met with opposition. There were those who tried to stop them from preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, the religious leaders called them and told them, "Don't teach and preach in the name of Christ anymore." Peter says, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard." So they go back out and they continue preaching and teaching the gospel. They're brought back before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5. The leaders told them, "We've told you not to teach and preach in this name, but you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then you have Peter's classic statement in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that's what they did. They go out and they continue preaching and teaching Christ. We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41 that they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The next verse says, "Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They couldn't be stopped. They continued preaching and teaching the gospel. Amen. What is our mission today? Well, It's the same as it was in the first century. To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to a lost and a dying world. We sing the song, Revive Us Again. And the Lord's people do need to be revived. But it begins with each member of the Lord's church. Lord, revive me. Please use me to take your message to the lost. Use me to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ. Allow me to be your instrument. Yes, our attitude needs to be the same as Isaiah's was in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is given this vision of God on the throne in heaven. And the Godhead asked the question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then the great prophet said, here am I, Lord, send me. Our prayer should be, here am I, Lord, use me. God desires then that his church be evangelistic in nature. But then secondly, the Lord desires that the church be sound in doctrine. Yes, he desires and requires that we be sound in doctrine. There is a very familiar phrase that was rooted in the Restoration Movement of the late 1700s and throughout the 1800s. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. And we need to understand that. Peter said the same thing, just in different words in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Not everyone is interested in sound doctrine. And even today, in many places, there are those who only want to hear what will make them feel good. They want their feelings soothed. And many of our preachers, quote unquote, will get into the pulpit and tickle the ears of those who only want to hear things that make them feel good. But even that is not new. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, let you back up to verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his coming in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And then he goes on to say, well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Paul's preaching upset some people. That certainly was not his intent to go out, and he certainly did not have the attitude, well, I'm going to make some people angry today. I'm going to do everything that I can do to upset some. No, he preached the gospel. And if his brethren appreciated that, if they loved him for it, no doubt it was an encouragement to him. And he appreciated them. But if they didn't like it, if they were offended, he still was going to preach the gospel. For do I now seek to please men or God? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10. And in Galatians 4 and verse 16, he asked the question, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Makes you think. Paul told them the truth. He taught them what they needed to hear. He taught them what would result in the salvation of their souls if they heeded what he said, if they obeyed those inspired words. God admonished his people of old. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, he said to the successor of Moses, said to Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded thee. Turn not from it, neither to the right hand nor to the left. And today, we must stay with God's book in all that we do. It's the only way that we can believe his gospel. He requires that we be sound in doctrine. And then finally, the Lord desires that we have a committed membership. My friends, we must be committed to the Lord. The Bible emphasizes that over and over and over again. Our Lord said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. We must be committed. We read of David in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 8. God said, he followed me with all his heart, with his whole heart. He was committed. And so we must be committed to that. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That involves the giving of ourselves to the Lord completely. And it's not a light commitment. We must be committed with our entire being. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, we see that commitment in Joshua. He challenged the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, listen to it, we will serve the Lord. That was commitment. Yeah. In John, in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20, the prophet Elijah challenged the people of Israel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Those people couldn't make their minds up as to whose side they were on. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Can't straddle the fence. We have to make up our minds. Are we on the side of God? Or on the side of Satan? One reason that there are congregations today who are not growing as they should is that some have become complacent. Some have become satisfied. You know, I was talking a few moments ago, Bill and I were talking about the great legacy of Crockett and what has been done in the past and what you continue to do. And I made the point, I told him that I made the point before that in sermons that, that strength is not always measured in terms of numbers. I've known of small congregations who were strong, who were spiritually strong, and who had done the work of God for many, many years, and who were continuing to do the work of the Lord. Crockett is one of those. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so thankful that this congregation is a part my life. Yes, we have to put the Lord first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me tell you something. Whoever offers the Lord second place offers him no place at all. Because the Lord demands that he be first place in our lives. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we are Christians, then we belong to the Lord. As a matter of fact, the best way to define the term Christian is to write out that term and take out the A. You know what you have? Christ in. Isn't that what a Christian is? One in whose life Christ lives.
Yes.
Paul understood that. And when Paul put his faith in Christ, he made Jesus the ruler of his life so that Christ was working through him. And that's why we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you'll note in that verse, Paul qualifies that statement. He didn't simply say, I can do all things. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He knew that everything that he was able to do by way of converting people to Jesus Christ and building up congregations and strengthening his brothers and sisters in Christ, everything that he was able to do, it was because of Jesus Christ. It was because of his Lord.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Listen to it. Whether it be by life or by death. And it ended up being both. He magnified Jesus by his life, but he also magnified him by his death. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. And so then, have the church that the Lord requires. It requires that we be evangelistic in nature, that we be sound in doctrine, and that we be committed to Him. May we always strive to be the kind of church that the Lord requires. There may be someone in this assembly this morning who has not yet named the name of Christ and put him on in baptism. We would encourage you to do so. In just a moment, we're going to be standing, we're going to be singing the song that's been selected to encourage us, to build us up, and to challenge us to come to Christ and to be faithful to Him, to live our lives for Him. Jesus died for all. They which live should not henceforth live in themselves, but in the Him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And so, Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Let me encourage you to do that. If you're unfaithful to the Lord, then urge you to rededicate your life to Christ and His way of life for you. Turn away from whatever sin separated you from God. We read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And for those faithful to the Lord, standing in the old paths, doing His work, congregation does. May God continue to be with you and to strengthen you and to bless you as you do His will. You're subject to heaven's invitation. Won't you come us together and stand in the sun?
No longer linger,
give us a pastoral prayer. Amen.
Amen.